Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Teich. The first pitch of the 2013 World Series is scheduled for this evening at Fenway Park in Boston. The Red Sox will take on the St. Louis Cardinals. Brewers fans don't necessarily have a rooting interest in the series, except that the Cardinals are a National League Central Division rival. But it is an exciting time for the members of Red Sox Nation, of which there are many in the Milwaukee area, me, for example. Also, Greg Pearson, author of the book Fenway Fanatics, 50 Boston Red Sox Fans Tell Their Stories. Pearson profiles Sox fans around the world from New England to Uzbekistan. He joined us over the summer when the Red Sox beards were still under control and when making the World Series was not yet a given. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
So this is the question that I suspect a lot of people who have grown up in this part of the world have. What is the difference, if there is any, between being a lifelong Red Sox fan and a lifelong fan of practically any other team, like say, the Brewers?
Well, I think one thing with the Red Sox is they go back 110 years. And so you get generation after generation that's rooted for this team through good and bad. There was a lot of bad there from 1920 to 1970 or so. But the fans will pass this on from generation to generation. One thing in my book that came up time and again were people getting talked to by their grandfather or their father or their mother saying, you know, root for this team, but don't have too many high expectations. You know, we don't know what will happen, but it probably won't be good. But I think, you know, there was understanding if children are rooting for other teams. You know, one dad talked about how his son started rooting for the Toronto Blue Jays because he liked the logo. You know? And when it went on for a couple of years, the dad started to get a little nervous. But eventually the son came around to the dad's way of thinking on what team he was rooting for. I think this book could be written about any team, you know, but I do think the Red Sox have that special connection with generations, you know, six-state region that pretty much roots just for this one team. Obviously, there are exceptions as you get closer to the New York border and into upstate New England. There used to be folks that actually rooted for Montreal when they had a team, and Toronto has some fans up that way as well. But the whole region seems to pull for the Red Sox, and it really makes it kind of one big community when it comes to the baseball season, which I think is a little unusual. You know, obviously the New England states are a little small, which adds to that effect.
There also seems to be something distinct about the attitude of Red Sox fans towards their team. I remember there was a Dave Barry book. It was like his guide to the 50 states. He describes people from Massachusetts, and he says the two distinctions of Massachusetts people are having funny accents and expecting the Red Sox to screw up. there is a sense of foreboding when you are a Red Sox fan that does not necessarily exist when you're a Brewers fan.
I think some of that is true. The Red Sox certainly had many prime examples of kind of blowing it in the clutch, you know, some terrible losses, some just heartbreaking, excruciating losses. And Red Sox fans can be pretty self-involved that way too. I think we like to talk about all our past failings. And you know, when they won it all in 2004 and again in 2007, some of that faded. Some fans will still talk in those old-fashioned ways of, you know, oh, we're going to blow it, we're going to lose it. And but I think it's toned down a bit, and but certainly there were some reasons to feel that way along the way. And one of the dads I talked to in the book talked about watching the 2007 World Series with his son, and their views of it were just the opposite. You know, the son said, "Oh, we're going to win. You know, we just won 3 years ago." And the dad was like, "No, we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it."
It so, does not work this way.
Right.
Well, why did you want to write this book? You are a Red Sox fan, and you include some of your own memories in this book, but mostly you are capturing other people's memories. Why was this the story you wanted to tell?
I just, as a kid growing up, I always was struck by how many folks in New England cared about this team. And I knew these stories were out there, and I just thought it would be fun to pull them all together. And it, one thing I tried to do is not make it too much of fans talking about, woe is me, you know, the Red Sox are going to blow it, because I think that gets a little tired for everybody to hear. But I just think some of these family stories are really touching and wonderful, funny, sad. One of my favorite chapters in the book is a woman named Jean DeRoche, who is from the Boston area, and she actually died 3 years ago. But I found out about her just – I was on the internet one day doing some research for the book, and I stumbled across her obit. And her obit starts out, wicked big Red Sox fan, attended 56 consecutive opening days. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good lead. And I read through this, and throughout her obit, it referenced the Red Sox and other Boston teams as well. And at the very end, she talked about how for her wake, she wanted people to come dressed in Red Sox apparel. And people did. And I just thought that was so wonderful. I looked at the survivors listed in her obit, found her daughter, found the name, called her right away. She was out walking her dog, and she was just thrilled to talk about her mom. And, you know, her mom was one of these fans that just never gave up, never lost hope, didn't ever flinch on this team at all. And I thought for someone who, you know, followed this team for 65, 70 years before she died in her mid-80s, I think that was remarkable. And she was a wonderful story and one of those people I wish I could have known in life.
Well, let's talk about your own experiences for just a few moments. What were the formative moments that cemented you as a Red Sox fan?
Well, I'm 58, pushing 59, and so I've been doing this for a long time with this team. And I think really anybody my age, they're going to start talking, first of all, about 1967, you know, which was the season where when I first started rooting for the Red Sox, they were terrible. And as I said in the book, I'm really not sure what attracted me. What was the reason I started rooting for these losers? But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just got good. I mean, nobody expected it. There were no real major changes in the team. It was just they had a new manager. A couple of young players came in and really played well. A couple of older players that they'd had for a while suddenly found it. And then Karl Yastrzemski was always a good player with the team, but he was spectacular in 67. And they just had this crazy season where they won games they had no business winning, and it was a five-team race throughout most of the summer.
One of the things that really strikes me in this collection of remembrances, really, of Red Sox of the past and you know these profiles of fans is how many of the Red Sox fans you found had no natural connection to New England or the Red Sox, but somehow got themselves swept up in Red Sox Nation, if you will. There's a guy from Ukraine.
Correct.
Who more or less arbitrarily took on the Red Sox?
Well, he got hooked on the Red Sox through video games and Stephen King novels. So it's a different kind of combination to get there. But he knew of King's writing, and through that he found out about King's love for the Red Sox. King wrote a book called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
Who was a Red Sox relief pitcher.
Correct. And there were many references in that book to the Red Sox and Tom Gordon's role in the whole bit. The girl, I think, was from Maine in the book and got lost in the woods, and she used Gordon as kind of her goal to get out of the woods. You know, he was the guy that was protecting her and saving her through the night when she was out there by herself. So it's a wonderful story. But he read that, and that just got him even more into this whole Red Sox thing, and he started getting videos and – you know, got some kind of cable TV package that you can get in Ukraine to watch Red Sox baseball. And he's a diehard fan. He has a blog he does in Russian about baseball. And there's another family from Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, Bill and John Opinski, who I interviewed both of them. Their dad had moved from Scranton, Pennsylvania. As a teen, you know, right out of high school, he decided to go to Alaska and find his way there.
And at the time, there had been a Red Sox farm team in Scranton,
right. And that was the dad's attraction to the Red Sox. You know, he was seeing former or future Red Sox players play in Scranton, and once they made the big leagues, he was, you know, as many of us do when we go to minor league games, thinking, oh yeah, that guy, I remember seeing him 5 years ago, and you know, Scranton.
Not that this wouldn't necessarily be the case for Miller Park or for, I don't know, Kauffman Stadium or the ballpark at Arlington. But, you know, you have people – there's a guy that you profile in northern Vermont who has built a Fenway Park wiffle ball stadium in his yard.
Correct. It's a one-quarter scale of Fenway Park, and it's got the left field wall, and it's got the foul poles and the – retired Red Sox numbers hanging in right field. It really looks very authentic. There are a couple of pictures of it in the book. And one thing I did find many times over were that people, as much as they loved the team, it was the ballpark that first got them hooked. You know, they came to the park and just thought, this is a special kind of place. And, you know, Miller Park is a great place to see a game. You know, there's no doubt about it. You go in there, you can see wonderful sight lines, and it's a terrific place to see a game. And there are some things with Fenway that are not as attractive. You know, the seats are not always very comfortable, and you can be sitting out in right field facing the right fielder. So you have to turn your neck far to the left to watch the action at home plate. But there's that charm of something that's been there for 101 years now, you know, and you sit there and you think, you know, geez, Babe Ruth played here. That doesn't happen at many parks anymore these days. Wrigley and Fenway are the only two that go back that far now.
Well, Greg Pearson, thanks so much and keep the faith.
You too, Mitch. Thank you.
Greg Pearson is the author of Fenway Fanatics, 50 Boston Red Sox Fans Tell Their Stories. Pearson lives in Wauwatosa. He's a copy editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Game one of the World Series is scheduled for tonight in Boston. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.